The reading is from Luke, and it's chapter 8, verses 40 to 56, and can be found on 1038 in the Church Bibles. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that the power has gone from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him, except for Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
Lord God, as we come now to look at your word with our Bibles open before us, sir, we want to see Jesus. Help us to see Jesus. Please, Lord, now open the eyes of our hearts that we might meet with the risen Lord through your word. Amen. I'm sure that actually most people here will be really quite familiar with the passage that we've just had read to us. I love the way that, in fact, Luke writes this. It's a very modern way of writing because we've got a plot and a subplot. It's all about two healing miracles, but under very different circumstances. And the main plot concerns this prominent ruler of the temple called Jairus. And Jairus' 12-year-old daughter has fallen so ill that it's feared she's about to die. And Jairus is just hoping beyond hopes that if Jesus would only come and lay hands on her, then she might be healed. And both the fact that Jairus came to plead with Jesus and then what subsequently happened were very public, and they were watched by lots of people. But the subplot is a much more private affair, a much more one-to-one encounter between Jesus and this lady who'd been suffering from an embarrassing gynecological problem for 12 years. Under the prevailing interpretation of Levitical law, this made her unclean. She was a ritually unclean lady. Now, we don't know the exact nature of the problem, but don't forget that this is written by Dr. Luke, and Dr. Luke tells us that no human medical man at the time could heal her. So Jairus pleaded with Jesus, and although we're not told so, I expect that as he was pleading, it went something along the lines of, "Come quickly before it's too late." Because this matter was clearly an urgent one, wasn't it? So it must have been really frustrating for him then when Jesus was distracted on the way to the house by this woman whose healing clearly wasn't urgent. She'd been ill for 12 years after all. So surely another half an hour or so wouldn't hurt, would it? Well, Luke paints the scene for us as Jesus starts to walk towards Jairus' house with the crowds around him jostling so badly that he's being nearly crushed. Now, I wonder why he was being jostled so badly and nearly crushed. It could be, of course, that it was because he was such a popular figure that they were just, you know, jostling around him like some pop star. But I wonder if it's not more down to the fact that people actually believe that a physical touch from Jesus was necessary for healing. After all, that's why Jairus had said, "Come to my house, please. Come and lay hands on her, touch her, touch my daughter, and she'll be healed." And other people believed that, well, I don't know whether they believed, but they certainly hoped that just touching Jesus' cloak, just touching those tassels on the hem of his cloak, would be enough to make them healed. You remember in Matthew 14, he tells us a story about when Jesus and the disciples came to the shore at Gennesaret. The people there saw Jesus and knew who he was, so they told people all around there that Jesus had come, and they brought all their sick to him. They begged Jesus to let them just touch the edge of his coat to be healed, and all the sick people who touched it were healed. And perhaps it was that which this lady had heard about. She'd heard these stories about people touching his coat, and so believed that what was happening to others could really happen to hers too. Others were healed when they touched him. And sure enough, when she touched him, she was healed as well. Now here's the thing, you see, if Jesus was like you or me, what I think he would have done would have been to have said, "Well, there's a job done, she's healed, I won't stop, I'm in a rush because I'm off to Jairus' house, and that's urgent, so I won't stop now." But isn't it fantastic that Jesus, well, it's really fantastic he's not like me, and it's probably quite good that he's not like you either, because he actually has time for everyone. Jesus has time for everyone according to their needs and at just the moment that they need them. And so, and I'm sure it was much to Jairus' frustration and much to the frustration of the crowds, he stopped and he talked to the woman and he commended her for her faith. Her personal faith in the person of Jesus received a personal response. This is no stranger God up in the universe somewhere. This is a personal God who wants us to come close to him personally, and he responds to us personally. Your faith has healed you. Well, now we come back to the main plot. We come back to Jairus and his daughter. And sadly, by this time, Jairus' daughter had died. I love the tender tact in this story with which Jairus is said, "Here, your daughter's dead, don't bother him anymore." It's so tactful, isn't it? Don't you think that's a nice touch? Well, as you'd expect, Jesus' touch is much kinder and softer, but still not what Jairus might have expected. Jesus said to him not to be afraid, but just to believe. And then, on those conditions, she would be healed. You notice it's going to take an act of faith, a positive, conscious decision on the part of Dad to believe Christ's promise before his daughter is going to be healed, just as the woman had been healed because of her faith. And of course, we know the rest of the story. The delay, Jesus' delay, didn't matter. God's timing is always perfect. People had started the traditional wailing and mourning for this little girl, and they all laughed in Jesus' face when he said she'd wake up again. But of course, he was proved right. The little girl was brought back from the dead. She got up out of the bed and was given something to eat. No question, everybody believed she was dead. They knew she was dead. No question, they can now see that she's cured. And her parents are astonished. And Dr. Luke, in his gospel, moves on to the next thing. Well, as I say, these miracles, they're all things, they're ones that we've all come across before, I'm sure. I wonder if you've ever stopped to think why the Gospels are full of so many miracles like that. The clue, actually, I think, is in John's Gospel, because John actually says, I've written these things that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And I'm quite sure that Luke's reason for writing these miracles is exactly that, that looking at these miracles, we might believe in Jesus and be saved by his name. Now, as David's already said, and I'm probably going to do this inadequately, so he can explain the series properly later on. But tonight is part of a series that David set for Lifetime. We've had some talks, and we're going to have some more talks on I Can't Believe Because. These are possible reasons that people might give as to why they can't believe in Jesus Christ. Real objections that real people often give, and that even if we believe, we sometimes find it difficult to answer them. Great series. And in between those topics, we've got a parallel series going on, which is looking at some of the reasons that Dr. Luke wrote down in his gospel to persuade us to believe. And this is the third of those series, and it's entitled Begging Jesus. These people who wanted Jesus to heal them. Well, that's all very well and good and great, and I was getting on fine with my preparation for this series. Because, you see, I misread it. I thought it said, seeing is believing. Now, seeing is believing is actually a dead easy topic, isn't it? We can all preach on that. That's dead easy, you see. All we've got to do is say, you know, here's Jesus healing this woman. Here's Jesus healing Jairus' daughter. He was amazed and believed in Jesus. Well, you look at it. You be amazed. But it's not that. It's not actually seeing is believing. What the title is that he's caught me out on over there is Believing is Seeing. Believing is Seeing. Now, that's quite a different matter, isn't it? Did you all know this is a series on Believing is Seeing? Who knew? Ooh, I'm very impressed. Two people did. Harry, Lucy, well done. Believing is seeing. Now, I'm going to say a really stupid thing here, so bear with me because it's been a long day. But you see, the big problem is that the eye doesn't see. Your eyes are not designed to see. I think your eyes are designed to transmit images to your brain. That's all they're there for, is just as light transmitters. And that's why you and I can look at the same object very often, but we will see different things. I was going to play around with some of those optical illusions that people often use during sermons. You know all the things I mean. So I didn't insult you with them. We can all see the same object, but come up with a different interpretation of it because our brains look at them differently. Our prior experiences, our emotions, our prejudices, our hopes, our fears, all the way that we look at things depend on our own individual background. Same images, but different interpretations. And we've all heard about Jesus' miracles 100 times before. But I'll bet that if we went round the room, there'd be some different views, even within this room, as to what's going on. Now, I'm going to come clean and say, I read these stories and I actually believe them. I actually believe that there was a woman who touched Jesus' hem and she was cured. I actually believe that there was a guy called Jairus, he had a girl aged 12, she died, Jesus brought her back from the dead. I honestly believe that. But you know what? There are millions and millions of people who are Christians who would deny that, who would look at these stories in a completely different way. I was saying over lunch, this is a digression, but something which has absolutely amazed me, if I look back over the different bits of courses and theological training bits I've done, at how I have been taught by people who do not believe in miracles. I always remember the very, very first lecture I went to when I wanted to become a reader. And we were looking at the miracle of Moses crossing the Red Sea. You know how the sea parted? Well, it didn't at all. You see, what happened was it was the sea of reeds, and the reeds were strong enough to hold the Israelites walking on them, but the chariots got bogged down in the reeds. And that's a lesson to you. You must always interpret the Bible to see what actually happened, not what the Bible says. And that was the very first lesson I had as a reader. What a load of old rubbish. But millions of people out there, millions of Christians, actually think that these stories are exaggerated and these stories are untrue. And it's exactly the same when it comes to prayer, isn't it? How many people are there who pray to God when they're in trouble, even bargain with God? They always say, don't they, that there's nobody who really gets into a hole who doesn't suddenly believe in God. God, please get me out of this mess. I'll go to church on Sunday. I won't even be rude to Mum again if you'll please get me out of this mess. And God gets them out of the mess, and they say, well, it would have happened anyway, wouldn't it? Got nothing to do with God. I mean, it was nothing to do with God. And why? Because actually they're so stuck in their sins that they refuse to believe in God. And actually, what people want is God's blessings, but they don't want any of that changing of lifestyle nonsense. And do you know what? I suspect we're all a bit like that, aren't we? Aren't we all just a bit sceptical when we see clear evidence of God moving in the world? We hear about modern healing miracles. But come on, be honest in your hearts. Do you always believe them, or are you a bit sort of sceptical? When you hear about people being rescued from dreadful situations and people say, isn't God wonderful? Don't you always say yes, thinking, yeah, I think it was God at work, but it might have been the social services that got them out of it, or whatever. Maybe we even dismiss some of the answers to our own prayers in the same way. I know that I'm sometimes guilty of praying, well, very much like, do you remember that dad in Mark's Gospel who took his sick son to see Jesus? And he said, if you can do anything for him, please have pity on us and help us. If you can do anything, please help us. And do you remember what Jesus' response was? It was, if I can do something. He said, if I can. Well, all things are possible for him who believes. And immediately the father cried out, I do believe, help me to believe some more. Believing is seeing. And the more we believe, the more we see God at work. C.S. Lewis once said, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, but because by it I can see everything else. I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, that we may see Jesus.